This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Business Leadership Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Tim Sprinkle. Tim's an entrepreneur, he's a speaker, he does a number of different things, a very talented person. Tim, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Scott. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. My background, really quickly, I am the founder and CEO of an agency called Layup Content, and we specialize in content, in writing. We're all writers. My background is in journalism. And right now we specialize in working with B2B brands, folks in financial services, technology, healthcare, often some heavy topics, some complicated topics. And we turn, that the work that those folks are doing into interesting content, which can range anywhere from a podcast like this to video, to, written content, to blogs, books, eBooks, all kinds of stuff. So that's what we do, is we take stories that people are working on in their day-to-day lives and help them share those stories.
Well, fantastic. How did you start this business? How did you get in your first clients? How did you sort of get to the spot you're in today?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned my background was in journalism. I did that, I kind of still do that, but about 20 years, 25 years, I was a journalist working for a number of different newspapers, magazines. Did a lot of digital stuff back in the day, was an early employee at Seeking Alpha, was at Yahoo Finance for a long time, just really kind of covering the business world as a journalist. Around 2013, I wrote a book called Screw the Valley, which is about startup ecosystems in what were at the time kind of different parts of the country that weren't the Bay Area. They weren't Silicon Valley. So I toured the country for about a year and a half, going to Austin, to Boulder near where I live, to places like Nashville, Boston, Miami, DC, and just really kind of just talked to people who were on the ground doing entrepreneurship in places that were different. So it was a lot of kind of profiling, just what made, for example, a startup in downtown Las Vegas different from someone who was working on something similar in San Francisco. Really cool, fun project, really enjoyed it. And that is where I got my first clients from. Met a lot of people. I did about 1,000 interviews for that book. Met a lot of great people, made a lot of great connections. And, when that book came out, it was an opportunity for me to kind of jump in and do this for real. Picked up a few clients that are still with me, and it's been growing ever since.
So two questions. Again, what's the name of the book again for our audience? And then two, is Boulder the best place in the country to live, or is there any place that's like Boulder?
I'll start with the book. It's called Screw the Valley. And it's, just like it sounds, it's, anti-Silicon Valley to some extent. It's just kind of the angle. It's not anti, it's more of just a looking at other places. And as far as Boulder goes, I live in downtown Denver. I've been here for a long time. I love it here. The weather's great. The people are great. The only kind of, I guess negative on Boulder is that it's an hour from the airport. So you're in the car for a long time going to the airport. But, right in the middle of the country, it's kind of hard to argue. I can get to California in a few hours. I can get to New York in a few hours. So it's hard to argue with.
Oh, you're fantastic. So you've had this great luck in growing a business. Give us a couple of thoughts on what works in growing a business, what doesn't work in growing a business. A couple of thoughts along those lines.
I mean, the one that I learned over and over again, even to this day, is that, stick with what you do. And kind of know yourself, know what you want to do, know what you're capable of doing, and just stick with that. Don't try to kind of force yourself into areas that may not be the right fit. There are people out there who I work with who really understand kind of the power of storytelling, understand the power of the kind of the thought leadership approach we take to this whole thing, and see the value in that and are ready to invest in it. And, they see great results. On the flip side, if you're expecting fast results, or you're expecting, a quick, ROI, things like that, it may not be for you. And, when I kind of go down the wrong path, and I think a lot of, entrepreneurs will say this, if you go, you're kind of chasing the money, chasing the revenue, you get yourself in situations where you can't deliver, it's just not, you're not made for that. And that's a disappointment for me, and it's a disappointment for the client. So I always want to stay away from forcing it like that.
So really, as important as anything is knowing what you do, knowing what you're great at, and to do that, and to deliver on that, whereas you try and go into areas that you're not great at, but you think money will come, often a debacle, because you're chasing the wrong thing. You're getting the money, but you're not doing what you're great at. Whereas if you do what you're great at, things tend to work out.
Exactly. And that's the lesson I've learned, over the last few years as this has kind of grown and scaled, is that really, the more you stick to it and the more you focus on what you do a great job at, the better it's going to turn out. You just have to kind of trust the process.
And just talk to us for a moment about business and the impact by COVID-19, if at all. Any sense there?
Yeah, I mean, there is, but it's not particularly negative. You know, I mentioned I work with a lot of with B2B folks. I work with a lot of digital companies, a lot of, you know, tech startups and things like that. And for a lot of my clients, this is, I hesitate to say, a good thing, but you know, they are well positioned to do well in this. I mean, they're already online, they're already focused on kind of digital delivery. They're doing a lot of, you know, there's no face to face with my clients. There's no, you know, dealing with customers in person. So all of the, you know, the social distancing stuff that's impacting restaurants and bars and those folks are not an issue for the folks that I work with. And they already have a head start. You know, a lot of the financial technology companies I work with, for example, have been working with me and with some other folks to build their brands over the last couple of years. They are far out in advance of someone who has to kind of backtrack right now and build up a digital presence. And so for them, it's a good time. It's a good time to kind of be investing in their businesses and scaling up when other people are struggling.
Well, fantastic. So overall, so much of your business is remote anyways, so much of your tech clients are remote as well, that really not having the impact on their sort of work arrangements that others do. And on the sales side, your business seems to be going just fine because you're doing what people need anyways in this time, in this very digital time. And then a lot of your clients are doing well as well. It just depends on the type of client as to how they're faring through this.
Exactly. I mean, a large thing that I always focus on is, you know, quality over quantity when it comes to messaging and content and things like that. I really like to focus my clients on just really doing really high level stuff, doing a great job, being kind of seen as the smartest person in the room. That's been my mantra for years. And now it's starting to play out because, you know, you can see the difference between the brands that are doing it right and really speaking to, you know, their own expertise and just doing a great job with it are pulling away. And this is a great opportunity to, when we're all, it's loosening up now, but we're all sitting at home. We're all online. You know, all of your customers are too. If you're going to stand up and like, and you're a great example too, like have a podcast, high level podcast. That's a great way to get in front of people and, you know, just get your message home.
And let me ask you a follow-up question. And a lot of our readers may not know this. They may not. Listeners may or may not know this. Seeking Alpha as well as Yahoo Finance both known as two of the best names in financial literature and sort of financial, sort of like Seeking Alpha right at the top, Yahoo Finance as well, more on a mass market side, but both top brands, top names. How did you end up working with them originally? How did you end up at those places? Those are magnificent places for particularly a financial journalist. Talk a little bit about the journey there.
I guess I can just more or less say it's a sheer luck. I was in the right place at the right time. You know, when Seeking Alpha was kind of ramping up, they're based in Israel, they still are. They have very small US-based team at the time, and we were looking to, honestly, as basic as it sounds, scale across time zones and have some staff on the East Coast, myself kind of Central Time, Mountain, some folks on the West Coast to make sure the news is flowing, to make sure all of the content is still getting updated. A lot of what we did at Seeking Alpha was take in content from our contributors, vet it, you know, go through the whole research process and then, you know, post it and kind of lead those conversations. So we needed staff around the world. That is kind of what we, you know, we're doing there. It's a very similar story at Yahoo Finance. You know, working at Seeking Alpha, I mentioned the contributors. There was a small number when I was there. I'm spitballing about 200, 300 people who were regular contributors. Now I believe they're up in the tens of thousands. So they really scaled up that operation after I left. But what I went to Yahoo to do was something very similar. It was, you know, really taking stories, thoughts, opinion pieces from some financial media people, some, you know, on the ground money managers and folks like that, people in the industry, and find ways to publish them on Yahoo Finance and the gigantic reach that had. So, you know, again, similar thing, you know, that time in the digital media world before things got a little crazy was a really good time to be there. You know, things were growing. Everything that we did at Seeking Alpha and at Yahoo at the time, it was well received. You know, there was tons of audience. Things were growing. It was a really fun time to be in digital media.
No, fantastic. It really is a fascinating story and fascinating. You're exactly right. I mean, those were real leaders early on in digital media, and particularly in the finance sector. And so it must have been just a fascinating growth time. And Tim, finally, you've got a great presence. You've got a great network. How do people learn more about you? How do they reach Tim Sprinkle?
The best way is just to go to our website, layupcontent.com. Everything's on there. My contact information is on there. We're very active as media people and as, you know, kind of content marketers. We're very active on all the social media platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, and all that. But it all starts at our website, layupcontent.com.
Oh, fantastic. Tim, a great pleasure to visit with you today. You're just terrific. I want to thank everybody listening to the Back to Your Business Leadership Podcast, and thrilled to be joined today by Tim Sprinkle. Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.